Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, celebrating 20 years of bringing the outdoors to Colorado Radio, here's Terry Wickstrom.
Good morning on this dreary day here at the studio, but I think we're going to get some nice sunny weather coming up, and we got a lot of things going on in Colorado. I mean, the hunting, the fishing, we're going to be covering a lot over the next few weeks especially. We're going to get into ice fishing, but right now we have an abbreviated show today. It's going to only be a half hour, but we're going to talk a lot of pheasant hunting, and I want to get right to the phones. And joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, he's a tremendous resource. He joins us every time around this year to update us on the upland game, Ed Gorman. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing good. And I got to admit, Ed, over the years, even though you've been able to try to educate me as to what my expectations should be when I look at holdover birds and the weather patterns in spring when they're nesting and then the weather patterns later in the year, I try to make a guess. And some years I have a pretty good feel, but this year I have zero feel. It was such a weird weather year. So bring me up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah, so this has been kind of an interesting year to watch evolve as we went from last season into this season. Really dry this past winter out on the plains, which is generally not a good way to start, just due to the fact that the soil moisture doesn't really recharge and get ready to grow vegetation in the spring. Luckily, it got fairly wet in May and kind of brought on the nesting and brood rearing habitat. June was kind of a weird June, really kind of hot and dry. So it definitely lost some momentum from May. And then the kind of unique thing this year was the severity and number of large hailstorms. We always have some that do some damage to habitat or upland populations, but this year it was there was a large number of really severe, intense hailstorms that had some serious impacts. So we're kind of looking at this year is going to probably be close to last year in terms of the numbers of birds hunters should see. Of course, that varies with local condition a lot. There are certainly areas that will be better, certainly areas that will be worse. And it's really hard to identify which of those you happen to be hunting in unless you have some contact with someone that lives out there.
Now, when you talk about similar to last year was actually a pretty banner year. I think you're saying there's going to be birds out there, but you may have to move around a little more. If you were going to rank, we've gone through a roller coaster in the last maybe, what do you think, 7 years where we had some really good hunting. We had a couple down years. Then it came up. Then a couple of years where it peaked. Would you put this maybe not quite as good as those peak years, but if you're willing to work, there's going to be birds there?
Yeah, pretty much any year. If you're willing to spend the boot leather, you're going to find birds at some place, somewhere out on the landscape. It's certainly not going to be, I don't see it being a banner year by any means. The last one that we had of those was 2011. I don't think it, I mean, I just don't see it being as good as that. But, you know, certainly not the end of days when it comes to pheasant hunting. There's plenty of birds. It's just, everybody kind of hopes for those banner years outnumber the average years, and it's just not the case. Particularly this year, it'll be kind of one of the middle of the road years, average at best, whatever average kind of tends to be.
Well, you know, and I always say about hunting, it's not harvesting, it's hunting. You have to put a little effort in, and it's always a little more rewarding when you have to do a little work. Before we talk about maybe the numbers of the locations of the pheasants and quail, is it too late for people to be out scouting? I mean, next weekend, should they be out scouting this week if they can?
If possible, either that scouting is already done or this is kind of the finale here. I mean, scouting goes on even after, you hunt. You kind of learn where the birds are, and you might be driving to hunting spots and find other birds. You always have to take note of those things. But for opening weekend, yeah, you kind of need to get it done here in the next few days or it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Ed.
Yeah. Pheasant hunting is just one of them things that, you know, as you become more and more into the sport, you want to put more and more effort into it. and that really generally returns pretty well in your success and your enjoyment of the sport. Scouting is one of those things most people don't do for small game, but with pheasants, it pays off big time.
Well, I think scouting is such an, you know, it extends your time in the outdoors. Hunting is an activity to get us off the couch, get us outdoors. And whether you're elk hunting, deer hunting, pheasant hunting, or even just varmint hunting, whatever, if you're spending time out scouting, you're in the outdoors, and you're seeing things in nature that a lot of people miss. It's just enjoyable. It's a great way, and it's a great way to spend time with friends and do some bonding.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it really is. You know, another thing, too, before we kind of move on to areas, you've always told me in the past that opening weekend isn't always the best. Not that it won't be good, but there's the times as the weather changes, the crispness of the leaves goes away, we get some snow, the cold weather bunches up the birds. You can have success throughout the season, right?
Certainly. Some of the better times to hunt are actually later in the year when pressure drops off and farmers finish up the last few acres of harvest that puts new birds out into the habitat. Those later on in the year, you know, anytime, even as late as the last weekend of the season, you can have some really good hunting. It just, you know, somewhat dependent on the year and dependent on how early corn harvest happens, which it's kind of going to be late this year, it looks like. There will still be significant corn standing next weekend. So this could be one of those years when January hunting might be as good as November hunting.
Well, and that's always good to hear because, you know, we get nice weather to be out year-round here. I mean, it's you got to dress for it. Take me through first the pheasants. What are some of the key areas that you would hunt or you would avoid?
So we'll just talk kind of historically first. Over the modern history, Yuma County is always the number one county for pheasant hunting in Colorado in terms of not only numbers of pheasants available and harvested, but also in hunting pressure. So lots and lots of people go to Yuma County. After that, it's kind of a there's kind of a four-county rotation. It just depends on weather condition, which one is favored most in terms of bird numbers. Those counties are Logan, Phillips, Sedgwick, and Kit Carson in the south and just south of Yuma County. So in any one of those top five counties, those are kind of the top five historically, and, you know, we don't see that being going to change anytime soon simply because they tend to get a little bit more precipitation than some of the counties further west. those five are a good place to start. However, you're making some trade-offs because hunting pressure is also higher in those counties. Lots of people hunt kind of the second-tier counties, which I'll start with Washington County and Morgan County to some degree are in that second tier. And then you go to the southeast where and into Baca County in the extreme southeast. That is normally in the second tier of counties. So any of those eight are good places to start. As you get into that second tier of three, the pressure drops off quite a bit compared to Yuma County. So it depends on what the person wants to do. If they want to hunt where the most birds are, you probably have to stick to the top five. If you want to hunt where there's less hunting pressure, definitely consider the second three. And there's plenty of other locations around the state where you can find good bird numbers. It's just takes some scouting, some contact work with landowners, and also the right season in terms of precipitation. But they're certainly out there.
Now, what about the quail? Last year, you felt the quail were one of the best years for quail in the southeast you'd seen in a long time.
Yeah, so quail are highly dynamic in terms of population. Rapid increases, rapid decreases are very common. This year was pretty dry in the southeast, as most of us probably realize. They went through about close to a calendar year of really dry conditions. That changed in late July of 18, and they started getting some rain down there. It appears, though, that quail have actually done fairly well this year. So we expect it to be pretty similar to last year, which is not, so the quail boom was 2016. 2017 was still very good, just not as good as 16, which you never expect them to stay as high as they reach on the summit. And that, so if we come out of this with 18 being as good as 17, there's plenty of quail down in the southeast, for hunters to really enjoy a good hunt.
Now, we're going to run out of time because we have a shortened show today, Ed, but I do want to get to one other topic that I know is near and dear to your heart. I want to take a couple minutes, and that's the walk-in access program. You know, that's been a really shining star here in Colorado. A lot of people are hesitant to get out hunting, especially upland game, because most of it occurs on private property, and they don't like having to go ask the landowners and stuff. The walk-in access program really removes that obstacle.
Correct. We've been, this is the 18th year of walk-in access in the state. We've had seen our successes and certainly a few problems over the years, nothing major. But it's really a win-win-win all the way around for the wildlife agency, for landowners, and for hunters. A huge percentage of Colorado pheasant hunters are pretty heavily dependent on hunting on some walk-in lands, and it's really convenient and easy. We go out through our vendors or through some of our folks, and we actually acquire permission for the hunter in terms of opening lands to the public, to public hunting opportunities. We post it with signs. We print an atlas. We also make the atlas electronic so you can get it on your mobile device if you want to, or print the maps off of our website. And then you can go hunt. You don't have to ask permission on any of those fields. It's a really convenient way to get into hunting, see if you like it.
Well, and there's a large amount of land, and it typically has to be good habitat that you look for too, right? You don't just randomly pick land.
Correct. We inspect every property that gets proposed for walk-in unless we know it previously. So there is a base level of habitat there. Now, occasionally one will slip through the cracks on us that we don't catch, or one gets hailed after the season or after the sign-up period. There occasionally will be something in there that kind of make you look twice, but generally speaking, the pretty good habitat out there on walk-in stuff.
You know, and we have a shortened show today, but I think I want to take the last minute and maybe deliver a message to people. You know, people travel all over Dakotas, Kansas, Nebraska to go upland game hunting, and Dakotas struggled last year. They were terrible. No, I shouldn't say terrible. They weren't up to their par. But we've really developed a good, reliable base. I know most of it comes from this year's hatch, but I think the message should be, if you're really an upland game hunter, we have resources and access here in Colorado to really have great hunts, don't we?
We do. We do. It's a great opportunity to learn about pheasant hunting by doing it. That's kind of the key. Regardless of what state you live in or where you travel to hunt pheasants, you can pick up techniques and learn about the birds and how they avoid hunters by just going out and hunting them, and then you kind of file those things away in your mind, and they pay off later on. Getting experience hunting is the best way to get the experience to become a good pheasant hunter.
No, it really is. Ed, I wish we had more time today because you and I could talk forever. Thank you so much for always joining us at this time of the year and giving us all this information.
Very welcome, Terry.
You bet. No, we'll talk again soon offline. That's Ed Gorman from Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Such a tremendous resource.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. Even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.